Mass MEP would do the triage, and we had a color coded, red, yellow, green.
Welcome to Mass MEP's Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. Mass MEP believes that there's some element to a manufacturer's business, whether it's finding inefficiencies, strengthening internal processes, or unlocking growth that can extend the firm beyond its current limitations.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Mass MEP Manufacturing Podcast. I'm your host, Haley Steele, Marketing Coordinator with Mass MEP. Today, we're going to talk all things MERT. MERT is the Massachusetts Manufacturing Emergency Response Team. We have with us Carolyn Kirk, the Executive Director of Massachusetts Technology Collaborative, Tom Andrelos, the Director of Growth Services, and Kim Ingalls, the Administrative Director. Both are with Mass MEP. While the COVID-19 pandemic caused some disorder and confusion in the past couple of months, the silver linings of the chaos initiated a Boston Strong mentality, aligning companies and organizations to take action. The MERT has been incredibly active since its formation. And I'm guessing there's a lot of people that don't know what it is, what it's done, what it's doing now, and what it sees in the future. So we'd like to cover that today from a high level strategic perspective, and then we'll delve into how it has been implemented and unfolded from a feet on the ground perspective. So I'd like to welcome Carolyn, Kim, and Tom.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone.
Great to be here.
Yes. And so all of you are first time guests, right?
Yes.
Okay. So we have an initiation process that we go through for this. I'm just kidding. We really don't. But we do, I do want to thank you all for taking your time. I know you're all extremely busy, and it's really important for us to be able to reach out to our audience and give them an understanding of the MERT and kind of show them what we have all been working on. I am going to ask you each a question that you don't know about, but it'll be an easy one. I'm not sure if you're going to be able to answer it because you have all been so busy the past couple of months. But when we have guests on, we start with the question to kind of relax you a little bit, even though we were lucky enough, we've already had an opportunity to do that before we started today. The audience won't get to hear that part, but we know on our side. So my question for each of you, and Carolyn, you can start. Is there something that you've started doing again during the pandemic that you haven't done in a really long time that you realize you had missed doing?
I would say grocery shopping and cooking.
That's great.
Well, because I had spent an awful lot of time eating out and doing takeout and really not paying attention to the home front, having long commutes. And now I have time to do the grocery shopping and the cooking and not going out as much. And so can't say that I love it, but girls got to eat and the family's got to eat. So that's what I have come back to.
And that's probably something you never thought you would ever say, right?
Right.
Grocery shopping.
Exactly.
Kim, how about for you?
Well, I think one of the biggest things I've taken on that I really never did do before was online shopping. I'm having quite a fine time online shopping where I didn't really do it before, but it's great when you have packages arrive at your door. I would say too, probably the grocery shopping and the cooking and staying at home. Like we would always, you know, be going out to dinner, like Carolyn mentioned, and those kind of things, which you didn't stay home as often. So staying home a lot more is kind of nice.
Yeah, because our audience, well, they don't know, but you had a pretty long commute to come into us into the office. So
yes,
you got a lot of your time back just from
yes.
that alone.
And right? I saved on gas.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that was nice. All right, Tom, what do you have for us?
Well, I think some of the things I don't miss is the travel into Boston, yeah. the traffic, things of that nature that always was frustrating at times or time consuming. Those are areas. What I have enjoyed is learning how to cook a little better. My wife and I have expanded the portfolio of cooking. cooking of foods and spending more time at home, enjoying each other's company. So that's been pretty good. I also do miss the socialization with friends and being able to have a few drinks around a campfire or just on the deck enjoying food and friends. So kind of a mixed bag. It has been challenging.
Yeah. Well, we miss having you guys in the office too, which is why we make fun of you as much as we do when we can. So we got to get it in when we're able to do so. So I'm gonna jump into the questions, because obviously that's the whole reason that the audience is listening. But we want to get into MERT, and you know, I'll direct this to Carolyn. You can kind of fill everybody in on this. You know, we can assume it was formed during the pandemic, but if you can give us maybe a little bit more specific about when it was formed, maybe why it was formed. Was the Commonwealth seeing something that caused like a spark and say, oh, we need to do something along these lines? And then maybe you can give us an idea of who was part of the MERT team as it was launched. So,
yeah. So as soon as it started in March, early March, and what was happening was the reports were coming out that there was a shortage of the personal protective equipment. And manufacturers themselves started raising their hand, stepping forward, saying, hey, there's got to be a way that we can help. So our email boxes were getting filled with these offers of help from manufacturers. So we said, as a state, let's tap into that manufacturing base. We also have a collaborative, the Advanced Manufacturing Collaborative. So we already had a built-in network. We tapped into that network. We stood up a meeting. We invited 35 people. They forwarded that invite to more people. 50 people showed up at that first meeting. It was on Zoom. And those meetings went on for the next 10 weeks with a full 50 people, three times a week. And it was MIT, MIT Lincoln Labs, WPI, UMass Lowell. So our academia partners, a number of manufacturers, MassMEP was a part of those meetings. So many players in the manufacturing ecosystem, and all came together to say, we want to help pivot our operations to start producing PPE in Massachusetts to respond to the pandemic.
Yeah, so we talk about this a lot, is the companies that were deemed essential, and you use that keyword again, pivot, that we've referred to quite a few times in a lot of the podcasts we've had, because there were a lot of companies that couldn't stay essential. And they had to find ways to pivot. And I'm assuming, were there some of those companies, they probably got involved in this as well with you?
Yeah, we had, the response was so overwhelming. The governor stood up a portal, and the portal basically had three doors. One door was if you want to donate PPE, you went in one door. Another door was if you wanted to sell PPE, you came in that door. The third door was if you wanted to pivot your operations, then you came in that door. And that door led to us. 935 companies came through that door. 559 were from Massachusetts. And so, some of those companies, remember, they had never made PPE before. As soon as they went down that road of making PPE, they became essential. And so companies like 99 Degrees, New Balance, Merrill Manufacturing, they were able to pivot at scale really quickly. And they were able to hold on to their workforce. And hundreds of jobs during this time were able to be retained. And Tom has some really good statistics on the jobs that we were able to retain as a result of these manufacturers producing PPE and therefore creating, you know, the essential product and service during this time.
Tom, you want to hit us with some heavy statistics on
Kim will cover that in a minute, but just from a Mass MEP standpoint, early on, as Carolyn mentioned, the importance of Mass MEP recognizing first the importance of participating in emergency Massachusetts Emergency Response Program was paramount. We immediately, Mass MEP, in the March timeframe, began to put an infrastructure together of four or five individuals that were going to play a key role in the program office in support of MassTech Collaborative. That support and direction came from Carolyn around how are we going to support the program up to the state? What were the metrics? What were the objectives and goals? So we spent the first couple weeks defining what those objectives, goals were first. Second, what were the processes that were going to be implemented to support the goals? And then third, what were those metrics and objectives we had? As Carolyn mentioned, there were over 500 companies that we really needed to put a full court press on to determine what bucket and what category did they fall into. So we came up with a strategy utilizing Mass MEP's field operation to help support that effort. So over a period of about 12 weeks, we vetted, qualified, and characterized all 559 companies. Many of those companies made it to the top of the food chain in terms of pivot. Also were recognized for additional funding from the state to help them support the pivot, and also help them with the development and creation of optimized processes and systems within their factories. So early on, we recognized the support and the need to help. Mass MEP had the right resources, we believe, to put on it and to support the MassTech Collaborative higher objectives and goals. So we were fortunate enough to be able to put those resources in place and partner with MassTech, which we turned out to be a couple things. One, I think, was very successful under Carolyn Kirk's leadership and the team that was over MassTech Collaborative first. Second, I think we delivered results in a timely manner. And then third, we were even able to help companies beyond the 13 weeks now into implementation and optimization of factories. So a great program, a great learning experience. Mass MEP got a lot out of it. And I believe we built a stronger relationship with MassTech Collaborative.
Yeah. Haley, can I just put some fine points? Tom just, he captured in that summary the so much of what there was so much drama that took place, right? Yeah. We had hundreds and hundreds of companies coming through, and meanwhile in our meetings we would have the report from the front lines from our healthcare providers, and the numbers of COVID cases were exploding. We're in the middle of the surge. We didn't know what we were dealing with in the pandemic. Every day there was something new. We were being confronted with these realities. People, schools were closing, offices were closing. Yeah. This chaos was happening all around us. We had all these companies coming in. The shortage of PPE was all over the news. And what Tom and the team had to do was hunt for the needle in the haystack. Yeah. What were the companies out of the 559, what were the companies that could actually produce PPE in a time frame that could make a difference? So that was the exercise, and it was not easy. And they did it with such care and such attention to the companies. Because for every company that we gave the green light to and said, yes, you have access to all these resources to help you navigate, these were medical supplies. And not everybody could get into that business. There were a lot of hurdles that had to be overcome. So for all those companies that were able to make it through that gauntlet, there were a whole bunch of companies that we said, geez, you know, I know you really want to help, but you're not ready. And so there was that messaging that we had to, Tom and his team had to say, no, not yet. And so we also had a contingency plan for those companies as well. So Tom, you know, great job, but my gosh, you know, there was way more drama associated with what we went through than you attributed to it. So I just want to add to that a little bit.
And we were working on a very short window of time to turn this around, to make sure that we were directly connecting to the companies as fast as we could connect to them, get them as much information and resources that we could get them. So, you know, it was a critical play in a short amount of time for as much as we accomplished, which was pretty good. But we were working a lot.
I remember it was Mother's Day. It was Easter Sunday. Yeah. These were the days that come to mind that put it in time for me. I remember that was the spring, the urgent moments, not knowing what the next day would bring.
Yeah. What I also found that the sense of urgency around this, it felt like you had a purpose to strive for. We had some really good objectives and goals. When you have objectives and goals and you can see where you have to head and where you have to go, what you can accomplish or how you're going to have to accomplish it, but more importantly, the importance of why we're doing it, I think was very clear, it was evident, and there was a sense of urgency like I haven't seen in I can't recall the last time.
Yeah.
But I thought the team between Mass Tech Collaborative, Mass MEP, Lever, the challenge program, as well as some of the other folks that were on the outskirts of our program objectives and goals really stepped up. When we asked for help and support from the field, or we asked for help and support from each other around, hey, could you take this project or can you take this specific company and filter it out because you have a better connection? There was always, yes, we could do that. It was always a very team-oriented effort, I thought. And going through that was refreshing. It really made you feel good about getting on those meetings on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And believe it or not, even with all the pressures that Carolyn talked about, all the dynamics of every single week going on, we always had laughs and we always had some fun going through it. So that made it very meaningful also.
Yeah.
And they were really great successes from a lot of that, you know, that, you know, just the companies alone who came up so fast and so early on in that phase was astronomical in the sense of how they pivoted and they just wanted to know what to do. So there was some really great successes early on, like you mentioned, some of the companies and Contolo and Mero and, you know, Love Pop, for instance, they were just right on it at a fast pace. And I think that's what made it what it was.
Yeah.
It's funny you say that, Kim. So we did a podcast with a couple of manufacturing companies, and both of the individuals we spoke with, they said that the employees that were working with them, their sense of purpose, that was the one thing that drove them, is knowing that they're giving back and they're contributing and in this pandemic and what's happening. And it was just like Tom said, it's something that I don't think we have seen for a really long time, or, you know, unfortunately it's under these circumstances, but hopefully we can get back to that. And knowing that they really strove forward. And for the first time, I think I've said this a couple of times on a couple of podcasts, but for the first time they would say, it's not just a job anymore. You know, it's that I'm doing this. And we saw it on our end too, and how we all felt. And, you know, we were proud and we were excited to be able to step into these roles like we all did and really push forward and help others be able to do the same. And what a difference, what an impact it's definitely made all the way around. Is when you first started this, though, was there a specific focus? I mean, because obviously all this has changed, and everything has changed. Was there a specific focus, or did, you know, has that changed, or how did that come about?
Well, so it's really important from a government standpoint to all be rowing in the same direction. Leadership is vital. And Governor Baker provided that leadership, and he stood up a command center. And the command center had a number of sub-teams. And one of the sub-teams was just focused on PPE. So I was assigned to that sub-team. And that sub-team was monitoring the PPE levels, and they had a priority list. So I would take that information and feed it into the MERT. And so there was direct alignment with what the leadership of the command center was saying of what priorities were into what the MERT was doing. So for example, New Balance, they make sneakers. They wanted to make PPE, and they said, well, we can make booties. Booties was not on the list of priorities that was coming out of the command center. The command center said, we don't need booties. We need masks. So New Balance made masks. In fact, I was lucky enough to go to Lawrence and be with the governor when New Balance rolled their millionth mask off of their production line. Wow. With their workforce socially distanced, appropriately, you know, protected in Lawrence. And so that was the alignment that was very, we didn't just make it up, you know what I mean? Like, we were aligned with what was coming out of the command center. And so we played that part. And so now, today, and ventilators was another really important part of the exercise. And a lot of our work around ventilators was the preparedness. You know, the hospitals really wanted the tried and true ventilator solution, but the MERT sort of was like monitoring disposable aspects and shortages around the parts and pieces of ventilators, novel designs of ventilators, refurbishing of ventilators, and then the traditional manufacturing. So when you take ventilators and you start teasing it apart, it had a bunch of work streams. So there was an important work aspect of the ventilator work. So you know, today the PPE shortage for Massachusetts is not as dramatic as it was in the fall. So our goal for the manufacturers in Massachusetts is to get them in touch with all the other states and get them customers. That's our goal for the manufacturers, is go sell all your stuff to everybody else in the world that needs it.
So can you, we've talked about, you know, how it started and how it all began. Can we maybe walk through the process and tell us, you know, how the process, Tom, you kind of touched on earlier about grant fund, or getting grants or funding. And then I think we said how, you know, we said the number of companies that came through and then how many were actually moved through the process and are maybe moving forward today.
So we had a, so the companies would come through the portal and Mass MEP would do the triage. And we had a color coding, red, yellow, green. But trust me, there's a lot of debate, you yes. know.
So unique.
Wait, there's debate on red, yellow, and green? Like,
oh, absolutely.
Okay.
You know,
I think there's some inside jokes to this conversation right now that we're maybe not privy to.
Well, okay, so we're in the middle of a pandemic. It's early on. We're in full-blown crisis. Some people wanted to have like a mathematical formula about coding a company with a score. And other people were like, okay, big picture, concept, red, yellow, green, just sort people into buckets, orders of magnitude, keep the process moving. You can guess where I landed on this. And so I was all about just giving
the green. Thank you for that.
What?
And we thank you for that.
You're welcome. I was all about, give me the greens. Just give me the greens. Give me the greens. So if a company was determined to be green by MassMEP, they were released into the product groups. And this is where the real experts were in the MERC. So we basically met the company where they were at. If they needed FDA guidance on their product, we had an MIT guy that was an FDA expert and could help them navigate that process. If they needed testing of their product, we could get them testing resources. If they needed labeling, kitting, other types of manufacturing, packaging, whatever support, we were able to provide that. So it was a high level of hands-on support, expertise that was provided. Now, we couldn't provide this for 500 companies. We ended up providing it for over 50, which those 50 companies have produced, what is it, Tom? 7.5 million pieces of PPE right now.
Yep.
So these companies would get this intense level of support, and then they'd go through this gauntlet, they'd have to fill out a bunch of paperwork, and then they could, off they went and produce their PPE.
So I'd like to just add to that, those 50 companies, about 23 of those companies today receive some level of funding from the state of Massachusetts. The state of Massachusetts has allocated to those 23 companies today $13 million to continue their progress towards pivoting and development and producing PPE product. So that's another added factor that the state recognized that these companies can be in it for the long run with additional capital, resources, and research and development funding. Today, we continue to work with those 23 companies, managing or working with them on their monthly progress, their status, their job creation, and optimization in some cases of their factories, and continue to help work with them to develop and be in it for the long run. So again, the state did a wonderful job by freeing up money to take some of those 50 companies Carolyn was talking to and getting 23 of them additional funding for the long run. So outstanding work by the state to provide those types of funds.
And all those companies fall into the category, we call them MERC 1.0 graduates. Okay. So they made it to the mark.
Yeah, and not every MERC company got a grant, and not every MERC company needed a grant. But in all of this, input that we got from all these companies, some companies said, I could make this N95 mask if I had this piece of equipment.
Okay.
And so the state was really able themselves to pivot certain grant programs and divert money into within weeks, stood up a new grant program with money from the Executive Office of Housing and Economic Development, Life Sciences, and Commonwealth Corp. So they pulled in three sources of funding, totaling the $13 million that was put into it. And what Tom is referring to on the reporting, so is if you get a grant from the state, you have an obligation to report every month on how you're doing. Well, this program was stood up so fast, MassTech just didn't have the staff. So I begged MassMEP and Tom. I was like, can you guys take this on? Can you guys, get these monthly reports from all these grantees and fill out this paper, get them to fill out the paperwork and give us the reports. And MassMEP just raised their hand and said yes, because you guys like the relationship and the touch point with the manufacturers anyway. So it's this really great synergistic relationship, which I'm happy because we get to get the paperwork filled out, and you guys are happy because you get to have the touch point with the manufacturer.
Right. And our field staff, who is the feet on the ground, we call them, they also do a great job of reaching out to the other companies that were involved and still in the mix, not just part of people who have gotten the grants, but the other companies that have pivoted and are still producing the PPE to date. So they reach out to them monthly as well, not based on a report, obviously, but just to touch base with them, see their needs. We keep that connection open, see if there's any places they need help with, and as they go and produce and keep their productivity at a level that they're trying to sustain.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems we've had conversations and we've talked about, you know, the importance of, obviously this isn't something anybody, you know, could see into the future with and know was going to happen, but now companies are taking a step back and looking at things and saying we need some continuity or some contingency planning and moving forward and thinking, you know, if we were making, you know, manufacturing something specific, and if we ever needed to pivot, could we do this? And now people are taking a step back and looking at other options, you know, Tom kind of hit on it, you know, with additive manufacturing. And it's really, I mean, from our perspective, I think it's opened a lot of their eyes to see there's a lot more opportunities out there that maybe they didn't see before outside of the four walls where, like I said earlier, people just thought it was a job. And now they're saying there's so much more to it and the purpose. And it's really opened up a whole new world that we're fortunate. We love at MassMEP because we tap into all that. So, you know, for us with Industry 4.0 and the things that we're getting involved in, we're getting excited about, everybody else is on the same page with us now too. So these are the silver linings that we've come across throughout this chaos over the past couple of months, but it's really nice for us. So I'm going to ask, you said the MERT 1.0. So obviously if there's a 1.0, as we all learned back in the days of college, if you have a 1.0, you should always have a 2.0. So is there a MERT 2.0? And what does that look like?
I would say that, you know, 2.0, so the 1.0 was heavily reliant on our volunteer partners. And so people gave up their day jobs for 10 and 12 weeks. And, you know, I started getting the phone calls, Carolyn, I got to go back. My boss is calling me. And so, you know, you sort of lose the resources. So 2.0 is really firming up the partnership with MassMEP so that MassMEP is just doubling down on what MassMEP does with that focus on advising, consulting, supporting manufacturers. So as companies come to us and say, we want to pivot, we rely on MassMEP for that consultation, that advice. When it comes to that specialized advice on FDA guidance, we tell the companies, get a really good lawyer. Because we can't engage with those people who are volunteering. But the testing resources for fabrics and masks is something that's a permanent investment. Part of the grant program that was stood up invested in testing technology and equipment at UMass Lowell, and it's confidence testing. So if you invent a mask, you can send your product up to UMass Lowell, get it tested prior to going for certification testing so that you can kind of continue your prototyping, get the confidence testing. So by the time you get your certification testing, chances are you're going to pass. So, you know, having that capability in state is really important. So that's being stood up as 2.0. We're also running these challenges. So the 559 companies that came through, just over 50 of them, about 50, we're 1.0. Yep. And then we had all this other talent that we wanted to tap into. And we said, how are we going to reach these companies? How can we seize that talent? And so what we did was we have these challenges going. first challenge was calling forward companies that declared an interest in making face coverings. So we tapped into that database. MassMEP did all the outreach. Thank you, guys. And we ran a business accelerator program where you came into the challenge, you did 5 weeks of an accelerator, and you did a pitch, and you could win $25,000. So we're doing that. We have three challenges, and these are intrapreneurs, so existing companies that are innovating from within. The fourth challenge will be for entrepreneurs. So we did the first challenge, a company from Cape Cod won. The second challenge, I just announced the winner on Friday, and it was a company up in Danvers. And then third challenge is underway. And then the fourth challenge will kick off in a couple of weeks. So I'll stop there, but it's really awesome.
Yeah. We actually were lucky enough. Our last podcast we did with Jeffrey.
And, oh, okay.
Yeah. We spoke to him and we were able to highlight, kind of called it the dangling carrot, and we let everybody know that $25,000 dangling carrot is out there, and what a great concept. And he said, once we get that third challenge locked in and loaded, we'll send you the date. So I told the audience that once we have it, we'll let them know so that they can move forward with it. So it's really exciting, and we got to watch when you released the winner.
Oh, good.
Yeah, pretty. And it's cool, too. The backstories that are also behind them, too, are really neat backstories. And they always, like Christy Grignon, who's our marketing director, she made a statement that, these ideas, they come from something really personal is where they're developed, right? So, you see a need for something in your own life. Something that's impacted your life. And so this is how you find a way to create and come up with some really ingenious ideas. So yeah, some of these ideas that we've seen are really amazing.
Well, the Caroline winner, what I loved about that was it really speaks to manufacturing in Massachusetts, where that the, 99 degrees in Merrill, high volume, you put out hundreds of thousands of gowns every week to get out into the market for all those testing sites, all that highly transactional, COVID-intensive environment that everyone's got to have high volume gowns for. And her idea was, her gown for the dentist who's doing a 2-hour procedure.
Yeah.
And he wants that, the high neck and the Velcro and the thing, tight around the glove and the wrist. And it was very specialized design. So it's more of that boutique custom, not high volume. And so those are the two ends of the spectrum of manufacturing. And yeah. I thought that just captures it. And that is the beauty of MERT 1.0 and MERT 2.0 is we have both in Massachusetts.
Yeah. And it's such a good collaboration. Just like with Mass Tech. And we also had that collaboration with Lever. So we were able to, again, help these clients once they've won these challenges and they get onto their business as usual type situations, MassMEP can again reach back out to them and help them, give them some guidance on, next steps and business platforms and all of that stuff that, is just part and parcel. It's a great circle.
It really is. Cause we Mass Tech, we move on to our next thing, right? And MassMEP is durable. You guys are there for the long haul.
Yeah.
You are that solid foundation to support manufacturers and the relationships. I would like to say that we could do that, but we've got to be responsive to the priorities of the administration, whatever gets thrown at us from the legislature. It's a more dynamic environment. Not to say your environment isn't dynamic, but we're just closer to the winds of change.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I would add, just a, it's a complement and a leverage of expert and resources. So I think that's why it's such a great partnership.
Yeah.
Both groups and organizations bring something different to the table.
Yeah.
And that, that's made the, that helped, I think, the entire program. One additional thing on top of 1.0 into 2.0, and I know, Kim, you could talk about this a little bit more too, is between Mass Tech and Mass MEP, we are now starting to build a database of information, company capabilities. In the past, Massachusetts did not have that in one single location. So everyone knew of certain companies, but we didn't really have a good understanding of each company's capability, the production capability, to the expertise, to the types of diversification these companies had. Today, we now are moving towards a single database of information collection and information on every single company we've talked about. So, in the future, companies will be able to be asking Mass Tech or Mass MEP, do you know of a company that builds masks? Well, at a push of a button, we'll be able to list every company, their capabilities, their expertise. So I think that's where MERT 2.0 hopefully will end up. We've made some good progress. And Kim, maybe you can just talk a little bit about that database today that you're working with Mass Tech on.
And a lot of that too, and Carolyn, jump in as well, but a lot of that too is just based on that raw data from everything. And once you bucket pieces of it out and kind of get a streamlined process in place to the point of all of that information, it really makes sense for a long-term situation, you know, as a pandemic like this or anything else. If you even think about, you know, a supply chain. We have countless and endless companies through Mass Tech and from ourselves that we get in questions, you know, just from a client, can you help me find somebody who makes XYZ? We can't find that part or piece or whatever, you know, whatever they're looking for. So all of that kind of brought that into a scope for us that to look at all that data. How can we streamline this out? How can we break it out and certainly get it into a place where it's accessible and usable going forward and make it easier for people?
Which reminds me, I just sent you guys an email from a gentleman. This is how our meetings go, Haley.
Yes.
This is the fly's point of view then, Carolyn. That's what I'm in right now. I like it.
I just sent Tom and Kim an email. There is someone looking for manufacturing capacity in Massachusetts for flatbed knitting. So if you could find that in Massachusetts, I also sent that to our friends at AFOA and Farhad, but I should have CC'd you guys on that. So this is someone who reached out to me on LinkedIn, and that is the power of the database. So that is somebody from who found me on LinkedIn, who does business with someone in California who's trying to make masks, knows the reputation of MERT because of what we've done, and is saying they must be doing something in Massachusetts, so, and I need flatbed knitting. And Kim has this database, type in flatbed knitting, see what you come up with, and there you go. That's how it happens. This is what we're building.
Yep.
So in a sense, it is kind of a way to help assist with what the supply chain issues, like you
totally.
Said, right?
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, and it's, you know, obviously this all surfaced during this pandemic and we figured it out, and this is a way to help with it. And so let me ask you, so is it by connection? Like how can people, do they have to connect with somebody from Mass MEP or Mass Tech to find out about the database?
So, right now they do.
Okay. All right.
Well, so we just wrote a grant for National Science Foundation funding, and it was led by UMass Lowell. And this concept of a network for replicating the MERT, but also not just for PPE, but for supply chain, is powerful concept. And we think that we are onto something here. And so we don't know that we've gotten this grant yet, but we're really close. And if we get it, what we'll do is we will systematize and put a methodology and solidify the answer to that question.
Okay.
Right now it is a little manual and it's a little clunky.
Yeah.
But how do we automate it? What is this process? Who are the players? How do we make it accessible? Da, 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 da. That would be what we would do with the grant.
Yeah. So right now, just for our audience, and we'll just let them know that they can just contact, you know, any of us, either through MEP or through Mass Tech Collaborative, and then we'll put them in the right direction.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Usually we get these requests from Mass Tech on Friday afternoons around 5 o'clock.
Here we go.
One laughs over how many times we got. We're like, wait, it's 4:30. Fahad will be sending us any minute now a request. And it always was. Can you
never fail? Never fail.
That's because we're cleaning out our inboxes for the end of the week.
It was on automatic at 4 o'clock on Friday.
You know what?
Wait, Tom, I've been waiting it took you like 45 minutes to finally come out and, you know, get a good punchline in there. I mean, this was great. It was good, though. It's a good way.
I need to verify that. I need that verified.
I think Carolyn's color may have changed. Yeah. Carolyn's like, thank God this is audio only.
7 weeks of Friday afternoon fire drills.
Yep. And then we're like, when do you need this? 2 hours. We're like, what?
Carolyn needs it now.
I know. Well, you know, the thing about for that 10-week period, there was no day, no night. No Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. There was time all collapsed.
Yeah.
It really did not exist.
There were several Sundays we were all chatting. It was no way about it.
Right.
And believe me, it gets recognized and everybody is extremely appreciative of it. And there are a lot of people out there that will listen to this and be like, wow. You know, we can't thank them enough for what they did for us. So it will not go unrecognized. I'm sure of that. So,
well, and you know, I want to just say that for as much as we did, we were a tiny piece of the state's response, because at the Commonwealth level in the command center, those people, that was unbelievable to witness what the public health department, what the Office of Economic Development, the school department, what the Commonwealth folks had to deal with. Oh my God, we were blessed. We had manufacturers coming to us saying, we want to make PPE. And we were like, okay. And they made millions and millions of pieces of PPE. You know, we had to work hard and facilitate and devote a tremendous amount of time and be really smart about it. But, I mean, we didn't deal with the depths of the tragedy.
Yeah, that's what it's like working with Tom every day. No, so we only have a couple minutes left, but I do want to ask this. So, you know, I'm going to go back to, we have 1.0, 2.0. Will there be a 3.0? And what does the future look like for that?
Yeah, you know, I think there is a 3.0. I think 3.0 is, we're writing another grant, an EDA grant. Mass MEP is a big part of that. And it's all around economic development, continuing the work of pivoting in a crisis. I think, you know, I think Kaylee, you mentioned it, of it's not only a pivot in a pandemic, but a pivot in an economic downturn, a pivot in a technology disruption, a pivot in a, you know, catastrophic climate change event. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, there are pivots that need to maybe take place, and the preparedness of being able to do that across your business is maybe a competence that we should be thinking about and being prepared to support companies through. And so that's pretty much the spirit of, or a cybersecurity attack, who knows what the scenarios are. Yeah. So we're working on that. But we need resources. So that's where we're going after some resources.
All right. Well, Carolyn, I did a little research on you, and I saw that you were a mayor at one point. Yes, for quite a while, I saw, right?
7 years.
Yeah, in Gloucester?
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm not originally from here, so I'm going to ask this question, but what would you recommend to be the best beach to go to up there?
I would say...
No, I don't want anybody to get upset or offended that she may pick one over another. I'm just asking for her personal preference of what she likes the best.
I like Good Harbor at low tide.
Okay.
Because it's really big and, you know, there's a lot of room to spread out.
Oh.
You got to get there early, though.
Okay. All right. I'll do that. Yeah. So it's nice. I'm not from here, so I'm learning about some new places.
Yeah. Or Wingersheek. Wingersheek at low tide. But you have to be at Wingersheek in the parking lot by like 8:30 in the morning.
Okay. I can manage that. We're working from home now, remember?
But you look like you're in a cubicle in an office.
Yeah.
Well, we have backdrops. We can make it look that way.
Wolf gets very creative.
Yeah. Yeah, well, thankfully, my boss is on listening right now anyway, so I can't really get away with too much.
That's really funny.
Thank you all very, very much. I really appreciate the time that you took out to speak with everybody today. And it went extremely well, and it was a lot of fun. And I hope we can have you guys back again. Now that you got your first one under your belt, you'd be like, oh, piece of cake. Just have me back whenever you want. And we can, I don't know, maybe we'll delve into this a little bit more as we get past this, which we all will. We'll get past all this. This will go away. And so we'll meet again and we'll talk about this again. But I want to thank everybody for joining us today on the Mass MEP Manufacturing Podcast. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Spotify and visit us at our website at massmep.org. See you next time.
Thank you so much for listening to Mass MEP's Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. To listen to more of Mass MEP's podcasts or for more information on how Mass MEP, your resource for manufacturing greatness, can help you, please visit massmep.org.